Epistle to the Colossians, chapter 2, from the verse number 19 to the end of this chapter.
Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh.
In the verse number 8 of this chapter 2, we have that urgent instruction to be on guard, not to allow any man to spoil us through some special human thinking, vain human deception, not to follow human traditions of any group, any society, nor to be influenced by some basest human instincts or the inclination of many groups and thinkers in the world that seem to be teaching that the animals and the other creatures should be our guide and our teachers how to best live this life on earth. At the end of the verse number 8, after all of these no points, we have something that is in common for all of them. It is not after Christ. It is not the teaching of the Lord Jesus. Be careful, be on guard, do not follow anything else but the gospel teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the verse number 16 I read, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holiday or the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Now listen to the teaching of the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 14.
Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin.
In the first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 8, the Apostle Paul is teaching about the meat offerings to idols. And that verse number 13 in that chapter is telling us, "Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend." Here in the Epistle to the Colossians in chapter 2, in the verse number 18, another warning: "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." And then the verse number 19, "And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God." Here we have an opposition. In the verse number 18, vain puffing of a fleshly mind. At the end of the verse number 19, an increase of God. It seems clear to me that the Apostle is teaching us in Romans and Corinthians to be very sensitive, gentle, and very patient with the ignorant believers. And here, in the second chapter of the Epistle to the Colossians, we are instructed not to be influenced by false teachers. I think in the Epistle to the Romans and to the Corinthians, the patience and good understanding of the stronger and better educated, informed believers is helping the ignorant brother or sister and giving them more time to get out of their ignorance and to become better equipped with the true knowledge of the gospel. Here in the second chapter of the Epistle to the Colossians, we are encouraged to cut off every opportunity to the false teacher to teach and misguide some other, perhaps unstable believers. According to the gospel teaching, confirmed by the teachings in the epistles, the Lord Jesus Christ is the head of that body of believers, the true, sincere, genuine believers that have been delivered from the darkness into the light of the knowledge of the will of God, saved by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, received by their sincere faith. All of us in the Lord Jesus Christ have the true nourishment, the manna from above, ministered to us through the sound teaching of the Word of God, uniting us in Christ Jesus our Lord, that we may grow according to his example, according to the apostolic teachings, toward that perfect stature, perfect measure of the spiritual growth, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the verse number 20, Paul is telling to the Colossians and to all the believers until this day, "Wherefore, we, being dead with Christ, to the rudiments of the world. If we are in Christ, we are dead to the massive ignorance of the world, of the humanity, humanity in darkness, in disobedience to the Word of God. Why would be subjected to any teachings, any such ordinances, any such beliefs that have nothing to do with the gospel teaching, with the word of our Lord Jesus Christ? We are not instructed to say, well, just for peace's sake and just to be kind to this or that teacher or individual or some schism or group, I'll just go along. Apparently some of these false teachers or confused teachers had a set of commandments, like some things may not be touched, they are unclean. Some foods may not be tasted because they are unclean. And there are businesses and jobs that we may not handle because it's not holy. And apparently all of these commandments referred to some things, some items that are reasonably usable and created by God actually to be used up. Just look at this verse 21 and 22. Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are the things to perish with the using. Now look at the verse number 20 and the last part of the verse number 22. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances after the commandments and doctrines of men? If I understand this correctly, and I hope I do, if we are living according to some traditions that are not Christian, if we are guided by the teachings of some teachers, the teachings that are not based and founded upon the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are still living in the world. And living in the world means living in death. In the verse number 23, it looks like that these teachings and so-called disciplines or the ways and manners of living have some kind of a form of wisdom. However, it's self-willed human worship. It's not what we owe to the Lord. It's something else against the will of the Lord. And some of these teachings are some kind of a torture, afflicting the body, neglecting the basic needs, as if suffering in itself has some kind of a sanctification, something exalted, something divine. What I think the Apostle Paul is telling us, just because there is a man-made discipline, just because man-made ordinances or commandments are demanding abstinence, for example, or imposing some fasting, or any kind of restrictions that are not based on the teaching of the gospel, we should not be light-minded to accept anything. Quite to the opposite. We should be on guard not to accept anything but the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ourselves that are teaching and preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, or perhaps some of the believers that are leading, overseeing some groups of believers and having confidence and trust of the fellow believers, all of us should be very careful not to make rules and ordinances that are not based on the Word of God. Should we then believe and teach that if there is no expressly presented a commandment to us in the scriptures of the New Testament, we are left alone to make our own choice according to our fleshly mind. Not at all. In everything, we should seek what is godly, what is pure, what is holy, what is pleasing the Lord, what is to the benefit and blessing of our fellow believers, and what is also edifying ourselves and building up ourselves in the spirit of Christ, the spirit of self-denial, the spirit of humility, the spirit that is finding honor in humbly serving the others. In the verse number 18 again, let no man beguile you of your reward. Deception works in the minds of the carnal believers, promising rewarding future. That illusion brings forth the fruit of disappointment. Faithful and wise worship of the Lord in everything we do and teach contains a great reward in itself here and now, also forever after. With the Lord now, and with the Lord forever. A humble believer is acknowledging he or she is aware of the full dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's a solid, sound practice. Humility and worship contrary to the gospel teaching could be hypocrisy, or it could be false belief, or both. Part of that deception or false teaching that we read about in the verse number 18 is the worship of angels. Some individual is trying to become very influential, to become a leader, a founder of a group. Supposedly, an angel of God has appeared unto him or her, and now this individual is following the guidance of that angel. Nobody else will ever see or hear that angel, only this individual, and everybody must listen to this one. Just remember what the Apostle Paul has written to us here in the verse number 18. Let no man beguile you. It's deception, it's false, it's a lie. Do not believe it. It's an intrusion into dark, unclean, forbidden. It in itself is vain puffing up. It can deceive the people that are prone to deception. It can never deceive God. In the book of the prophet Isaiah, in the chapter 4, the very first verse is very interesting.
And in that day seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach.
I think that the message in the book of Revelation chapter 3 from the verse number 14 to the end of that chapter is quite related to this in meaning and significance to the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 4 verse 1 that we just heard.
And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent.
Considering all of that, we can clearly see that any other clothing but the righteousness of Christ, any other clothing is nakedness. Any other path but the full obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, any other path is the wandering in the wilderness of the world. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is our everlasting reward right now and forever after.